Sheikh Baqir Sharif Al-Qarashi decides to compile.
So we can consider Sayyid Hadi Khosro Shahi.
Shaheed Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr. He was born in Kadhimiya.
The first and the most important thing that we can learn from Allama Tabatabai is his great effort.
In this regard, I should like to say that one of the great benefits of the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mahmud Shahrudin was.
When we look at the works of late Rawzati, we see.
There is a famous sentence from Mirza Khalil Qamarani that he says in Farsi, Tuhid kalame baraye kalame tuhid.
Be more familiar with outstanding Shia figures in the teacher.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page. This is The Teacher, an analysis on the thoughts and works of the most outstanding Muslim Shia scholars, dignitaries, and ulama all across the world of Islam. I'm Ata, the host of this program. Within this series are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sheikh Mahdavi and Dr. Fakhr Rouhani. Dr. Fakhr Rouhani, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the show.
Assalamu alaikum.
And Sheikh Mahdavi, assalamu alaikum, brother.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah.
The personality with whom we are mainly concerned for today's discussion is a lady. We can also call the lady Sayyid Nusrat Begum Amin, mainly known as Sayyid Nusrat Amin, a very outstanding dignitary, an outstanding arif, mufassir, we can say, and faqihah. Among the ladies of the Shiite world. Sheikh Mahdavi, let's start with you, brother. Give us some details about the early life of Sayyid Nusrat Begum Amin.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Sayyid Nusrat Begum Amin is one of the religious women and also a scholar women of Shia who is born in 1247, according to lunar calendar, in one of the cities of Isfahan. She is born to a rich family whose father was a merchant called Amin al-Tujjar, and also whose mother was a religious mother. And also he benefited from the great ulama. Actually, she started her study while she was 5 years old, yes, going to the Maktab Khane, before having these schools in their modern type. They would send their children, I mean the families would send their children to the place which is called Maktab Khane.
And usually in Maktab Khane, they were busy with learning Quran, Hadith,
yes,
and Arabic alphabetic or alphabets.
And also Farsi literature.
Farsi literature.
Yes, Farsi literature, yes. What right now we are missing in our generation.
Yes. Okay.
So she started her study while she was 5 years old. And when she was almost 11 years old, she started officially to study religious lessons. And when she reaches 40 years, she gets the permission of ijtihad from the great ulama of her time.
Okay.
And very surprisingly, we have the name of the great and outstanding ulama from among those who got permission of riwayah from her. This is very... this is very strange.
I mean, she gave permission,
yes,
to the great ulama.
Yes,
like,
yes,
Allama Amini, Ayatollah Marashi Najafi,
yes,
and
these
others.
Two are the most commended our listeners.
Was it common among the ladies to get the permission of ijtihad or hadith? Or, for example, about the religious studies, it is known. But about the high levels, advanced levels of studies, was it common something on that time or not?
To be honest, it was not that common, but it was not a kind of topic that you can marginalize and overlook it.
Uh-huh.
Because we have a books, voluminous book like Rayahin al-Sharia,
yes,
which has been written in regards to collection or categorization
of the
all scholars among the women.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
and
right.
When we look at her name, we see this honorific title, Begum.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes, which is given to the great women.
Yes.
Yes.
That's right. The great high status women. That's all right. Okay. Dr. Fakhwani, give us some details about the scholar life of Banu Amin. She's also known as Banu Amin or Banu Irani, okay?
Yeah.
These are the titles that are given to her, but mainly known as Sayyid Nusrat Amin, the Faqiha. Give us some details about her scholar life.
Yes. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa binistain. It's an honor for me to be here in such a session devoted to a great lady.
Yes.
A great Shia lady who devoted her life,
yes,
to Islamic religious studies.
True.
First and foremost, I should like to say that A couple of years ago, I was lucky to find out one of the works of Banu Amin Isfahani. Mm-hmm. And when I started reading the book, I got surprised at the profundity of the discussions available in the book. Oh. It was about Shia history and Shia doctrinal topics.
Yes.
All in all, I should like to say that what's surprising in this regard is that Banu Amin Isfahani or Banu Nusrat Amin Isfahani, yes. She's got various designations. Yes. What's important is that she started learning Islamic studies and making a professional figure in this regard when it wasn't that common for ladies, yes. For girls and ladies to go to schools in order yes. to learn something. However, contrary to the currents of the changes available at that time, and particularly in such a time that, because it was, in the time of Reza Khan,
yes.
and Reza Khan was, very much intent to close religious schools and to open, European-style schools. Yes. However, instead of attending European-like schools, Banu Amin Isfahani preferred to go to Islamic schools, and this is very surprising. Okay? Yes. At the same time, it must be indicated that one of the outstanding works of this great lady is Quran Exegesis
yes.
in 15 volumes.
Yes.
And it was a kind of argumentative
yes.
and, well-reasoned book,
yes.
And especially, packed with doctrinal and hadith-oriented discussions.
That's right.
It's called Makhzan al-Irfan.
Yes, yes, Makhzan al-Irfan.
Yeah, Makhzan al-Irfan.
Yes, that's right.
Another one is Al-Arba'in al-Hashimiyya fi sharh jumla min al-ahadith al-warda fi al-ulum al-diniyya. This book is about, Islamic studies, and it's about, as the title suggests, it's about, 40 hadiths selected,
yes.
From amongst the, a vast number of hadiths. Another one is, a book that she devoted to Imam Amir al-Mumuneen alayhi salam, Makhzan al-Li'ali,
yes.
Dar Fazilat Mawla Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. This is, this book, is she, shows that she was the real devotee of Imam Amir al-Mumuneen
yes.
alayhi salam.
That's right.
The other books of hers are about, doctrinal topics or, generally speaking, Islamic moralities and
That's
Islamic
right.
ethical topics and discussions.
But she is known with Makhzan al-Irfan.
Yes.
In Exegesis of the Holy Quran.
Yes.
We'll get to that details. But the great point about her life is giving ijazah to, outstanding scholars like Ayatollah Marashi, Ayatollah Amini. Technically speaking, the fuqaha and the maraje, are they allowed to get permission from a lady in Islam or not? Is it so?
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
Nothing
Maybe
wrong with
we
that,
have
okay.
a kind of misunderstanding uh-huh. regarding the position of ijtihad or marja'i taqlid to be given to a woman.
Uh-huh.
So what we have in the Sharia is that woman cannot assume the position of marja'i taqlid, okay. sitting at that position and giving and issuing the fatwa, and for some people to follow her mm-hmm. as their marja'i taqlid. But reaching the level of ijtihad is something far different from becoming a marja'i taqlid.
Okay.
Someone might reach the level of ijtihad while she or he is not marja'i taqlid.
That's right.
So this misunderstanding maybe is coming from the propaganda against us that always Muslim women will be suppressed and their right will be taken away. But when we look at the position of Lady Banu Amin
mm-hmm.
and the respect that she received from the great ulama, that we had some of the poetry in condolence on her demise by some of the great ulama, that being female
yes.
for the Shams is not going to give any shortcoming.
Yes.
Because we know the word Shams in Arabic is treated as a female word.
Female one, that's right.
What we have, our listeners are familiar. In English also, we differentiate between he and she.
Yes.
There are some words that will be treated as masculine
and feminine. That's right.
Feminine. But in that poetry, that great alim is saying that being female is not giving any shortcoming
yes.
to the Shams
yes.
or to the sun. And also being male is not giving
mm-hmm.
any advantage to the Qamar or the moon. And then he gets to the part of the, which is in concern with her position. Saying that while you are a woman, but you are standing at that high position, that many of the ulama got the permission of Rawaya and Ishrat from you.
Yes.
And she actually cultivated and brought up a lot of students.
Also, spiritually and mystically speaking, she has been the teacher and trainer of so many outstanding spiritual trainers. And this is also outstanding about Sayyidina Nusrat Amin. Murtaza Mutahari, Shahid Murtaza Mutahari, also says that when I was in her presence, I asked a simple question, and when she started answering, on that moment, I understood that what a great personality is she, how a scholar is she, to answer me with so much, you know, power, can say, based on the knowledge. And this is really, we can say, outstanding about Sayyidina Nusrat Amin and the other ladies who are, as you said, by a wrong picture, which is given out of the, we can say, Islamic seminaries or something like that, that they do not welcome the women. The women and the Scout women are welcomed very much. As we said, socially and culturally speaking, she was very much active, especially in the case of hijab, isn't it? In the period of Reza Khan.
Yes.
What was the exact story, Dr. Fah?
Actually, as you know, in the time of Reza Khan, it must be first and foremost indicated that initially Reza Khan wasn't an educated person. He was an illiterate person.
Yes.
And based on authentic historical records available, it's supposed that he was deliberately chosen for this purpose.
Yes.
Because an illiterate person is like a blind person. Okay, mm-hmm. Whatever you say to him, okay, he's supposed to obey. Okay?
Yes, okay.
And Reza Khan thought that, okay, opposing hijab or other Islamic rules would bring... for example, progress to the whole country. While it isn't the case, because Islamic religion is never against making progress in whatever field might be.
Yes. Okay.
At that time, Reza Khan started opposing both. Wearing hijab and the Goharshad Mosque in Mashhad. The episode over there. The massacre over committed over there is a good proof in this regard. First and foremost, again, side by side with this, Reza Khan initiated. Giving priority to Western style schools in the nation.
Okay.
And it must be indicated that it wasn't the sagacity of Reza Khan to introduce Western-style schools because he was altogether against scholarship, against knowledge, altogether.
Okay.
However, in order to oppose Reza Khan, various religious people adopted various policies. Mm-hmm. For example, the Iranian ulama who were in Najaf, started some people from Iran and attracting them. They attracted them to Najaf in order to educate them as clerics, because Najaf was away from the radius of Reza Khan's influence.
Yes. Okay.
But inside Iran, Banu Nusrat Isfahani started opening an Islamic school, an Islamic madrasa or college, not that very much widely famous, she made school at home. Okay. And she started admitting students and started educating them. In this way, it must be indicated that amongst the top-ranking women, religious women who opposed Reza Khan, not politically or, for example, in a military mode, but rather in a cultural
aspect,
in a scholarly way, was Banu Nusrat Isfahani. But at the same time, let me make a slight contribution. There's a book entitled Muhaddasat al-Shia. I think this book hasn't been translated into English, but I've read its Persian original.
Okay.
Muhaddasat al-Shia, it means the Shia ladies who transmitted hadith, generation by generation.
Or the female transmitters of hadith.
Yes,
right.
Female transmitters of hadith, written by Dr. Nahla Gharavi Naini, who is at the moment professor of Islamic studies at Harbi Modaris University in Tehran.
Yes. Okay.
If you refer to this book, if our audience refer to this book, they would find that throughout the Shia history, right from the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam up to now, there have been a large number of female transmitters of hadith, and the most important transmitter of hadith, female transmitter of hadith, in the whole Islamic history, was Hazrat Fatima Zahra Salamu Allah Alayha.
That's all right. Okay, thank you very much.
Welcome.
But Banu Nusrat Amin composed an outstanding, voluminous exegesis of the Holy Quran, Makhsanul Irfan calls it, in fact, it's better to say the treasure of mystic or mysticism or something like that, Irfan. What is this book exactly? It must be very difficult, especially for a lady, to, we can say, have an exegesis on the Holy Quran in 15 volumes and giving it argumentative analysis on the Holy Quran, isn't it, Sheikh Matavi?
Yes, it is really difficult, specifically if you consider that you are married and you are a woman, you are not a man. What we are familiar with is that women are working at home and they will provide some time for men to become great ulama. Yes. But now we are looking at this picture and we see a vice versa.
Okay.
Because she got married while she was 15 years old and she delivered 8 children, out of which 7 died because of the diseases
the pandemics
at that time. Yes.
Okay.
When we look at her lifestyle, we will understand that the achievement that she obtained was out of the grace of Allah and her hard working. For example, right. Before we get into the topic of Makhsan al-Irfan, her outstanding work, we have to know that she was mostly staying at home and great ulama would come and teach her. So it is narrated that Sayyid Ali Najaf Abadi, who was her great ustad or teacher after the demise of 2 of her children, he didn't go to her house. He was thinking that she may not be concerned anymore with these things and lessons. But after 2 days, she sent someone after the teacher to come and teach me.
Yes.
And it shows her concern. And now we see such fruits out of her hardworking, like Makhzan al-Irfan, a voluminous book on the Quran. Actually, it's commentary on the Quran, as you mentioned, 15 volumes.
Yes.
And she mentions as her incentive or motive that pushed her to start writing this commentary on the Quran. Mm-hmm. She says that I was thinking, if possible, to collect a simple words of Ahlul Bayt regarding the Quran or commentary on the Quran. Then that thought and intention pushed me forward to start this work. And alhamdulillah, I succeeded.
Yes.
And I managed to have the entire and completion of the commentary on Quran in 15 volumes. And when you look at the type of her commentary, you see, as Dr. Fakhr Rouhani, it's really well reasoned and has much to do with rationality.
That's all right.
Because of her hard working and concentration on philosophy and
That's
mysticism.
Right. Yes, very
alongside the riwayat and the hadith.
And you said writing an argumentative, you know, exists on the Holy Quran seems to be very much rational based, and this is something done by a Muslim Shia lady, we can say, in the whole Islamic world, which made her an exception, I think, in the whole Shiite, we can say, in the Muslim communities, especially in contemporary era. Thank you much, Sheikh Mahtavi and Dr. Fakhr Rouhani, for your presence in the program. The teacher talking about Sayyid Nusrat Begum Amin, one of the most outstanding Shiite scholars and exegetes of the Holy Quran. She passed away on Sha'ban 30, 1403, according to the lunar Hijri calendar, in the city of Isfahan, and she was buried in Takht-e-Fulat Cemetery, which is the burial place of so many outstanding scholars and ulama of the Shiite world. This is really one of the precious grave sites of the whole Muslim land. So many outstanding scholars, ulamas, we can say, from both sides, the ladies, men, and gentlemen are buried over there. And may our dear listeners find a chance to pay a visit to the city of Isfahan, its outstanding places, and also Takht-e-Fulat Cemetery. It was very kind of you, Dr. Fakhr and Sheikh Mahtavi.
Most
thank
welcome.
You.
And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program, The Teacher. We talked about Sayyid Nusrat Begum Amin, the author of Makhzan al-Irfan, Fil Tafsir al-Quran. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
معلم.